President Truman wrote that in the loyal execution of the obligation assumed by President Roosevelt on behalf of the United States government, he, President Truman, directed the casting of the vote of this country for the admission of the Ukraine and White Russia to the international organization. Secretary Stettinius told the press that Foreign Commissar Molotov had given the steering committee extensive and detailed information to show that these two Russian republics were autonomous in the field of foreign affairs. Two plenary sessions of the conference will be held tomorrow. In conformity with the rotation plan, T.V. Soong, the Chinese foreign minister, will preside in the morning and Molotov in the afternoon. Anthony Eden will have the chairmanship at the first session Monday. The conference is off to a good start. Now, Dr. Usher.
The Russian opposition to the assumption of the presidency of this conference by the United States was the greatest surprise because it was objection to an old, well-established tradition. Objection seemed unnatural, too, because the president of this conference has little or no authority to exercise or abuse. As Molotov himself said, it was a question of prestige. Apparently, Russia wanted it herself, though she did not ask for it. The impasse yesterday was complete. Last night, Britain and the United States, after consultation, both agreed to insist on the presidency of Stettinius, in other words, of the United States. This they did not press to a break today. Instead, they agreed to four joint presidents, and Russia, in return, agreed to allow Stettinius to hold the only positions of power there are, the president of the executive and steering committee. But the latter are far inferior in dignity. The whole incident's a puzzle. It seemed to raise most sinister possibilities about other questions of greater consequence. There has, throughout the 2 days, seemed to be no ill feeling at all. Molotov, returning from the battle yesterday, was in the best of humor at a press conference immediately after. Nor was there any trace anyone could detect in his speech or in his demeanor at the plenary session yesterday, to denote real trouble. Perhaps it was all a sort of a flash in the pan. However, many here would give a good deal to know what was really behind it. But trouble with Russia, because of Russia, from Russia, is something which many were determined to believe in for a good many years. Mr. Stettinius was asked at his press conference, which immediately followed the afternoon session, whether he was in now for the duration, and he replied that he assumed he was. It has, however, not been made clear whether these offices were conferred on men or on their respective nations. Apparently, from what the Secretary of State said, he interprets it to be personal and not national. Precedent and tradition would hold that the United States was elected, and that some other member of our delegation could serve. This may be of great importance. Rumor will not down that Mr. Molotov is here for only a fortnight, and that Mr. Eden must also return before more than many days. Indeed, the latter said to the press today that he hoped all would be concluded in 3 weeks. Now, if it should not be, and either Mr. Molotov or Mr. Eden or both should be compelled to leave, it would vacate 2 presidencies. The conference could, of course, then exercise its legal authority and deal with the situation, electing Mr. Stettinius or someone else president, or choosing 4 new presidents. But would Russia then give up the position for which Mr. Molotov fought so hard? To anchor these 4 men here till all is over might be very serious, and would be based on a sheer technicality, the purpose of which no one at all comprehends. This decision could have consequences of significance. There has been strong sentiment the conference must not be unduly long. Experience thus far indicates delay, confusion, and opposition, which in its turn means delay. All were decidedly dashed when the steering committee sat 8 solid hours by the clock over a technicality which ought to have been disposed of in 5 minutes or less. What time, they wanted to know, will be essential when the truly knotty problems appear. Then the agenda now being followed provides for addresses of such length as they desire by the chairman of all delegations. Australia began immediately after the close of the business session. It was followed by Belgium, Bolivia, and Brazil. Others will continue tomorrow. Then everyone was more than disturbed yesterday when Mr. Molotov's speech was translated first into English and then into French. If that practice is going to be followed with all the speeches of interminable delegations, the length of time will be very great. A general exodus began when the French rapporteur began, of such dimensions that Mr. Stettinius felt it imperative to interrupt and say that Mr. Eden would speak afterwards. If the corridors and press room were any indication, there were plenty of empty seats when the British Foreign Secretary arose. Today, noting this, the steering committee announced that speeches could be in any language, but would not be immediately translated at the time. They would be printed later in English and French. Copies, in fact, of those given today were available for the audience as it filed out. If all this indicated a very long conference, the expedition with which business was dispatched today indicated hope for a speedy conclusion. The highly controversial issue of the votes for the Ukraine and fight Russia, which has fairly had the American and British press to the ears, was unanimously accepted in 2 minutes. The resolution about Poland, even more controversial and exciting, was similarly passed. The steering committee also provided, as Mr. Stettinius told the press conference later, that a deadline of 1 week had been set at which time all amendments or other materials should be submitted to the committee. Much is already on hand, but naturally the nations cannot be foreclosed ability to add to the list by any authority except their own. The conference must establish the deadline. This looks like expedition. An analysis of the Executive Committee of 14 is interesting and significant. It has been freely said here that the nominees would be the future members of the Security Council. As only 11 are provided for at present and 14 were named today, this cannot be completely true, but in the main it does indicate choice. The 14 include, naturally, the four sponsoring powers and France. Then come six middle states: Australia, Canada, Brazil, Chile, Mexico, and Holland, all of whom have contributed largely to the war, except Chile, who has other claims. Three smaller states complete the roster, but no very small state was included. This was exactly what Australia asked for today, a representation of the more important smaller states on the Security Council. Their balance thus balances the greatest, the middle, and the small in about that proportion. Five greatest, six middle, three small. It also gives Latin America 3 votes. The British Dominions get 2. Europe gets 2. The Near East, 1. This in addition to the great powers. A distribution of this sort among the states of varied sizes and capacities seems expedient and well thought out. Because the smallest states were wholly omitted from the Executive Committee, they were given control of the Credentials Committee of 7. Such tiny states as Luxembourg, Nicaragua, and Ecuador were elected. Every variety in size thus was considered, and in a proportion which will seem reasonable on due examination. The whole provisional organization I described yesterday was adopted en bloc, in a single sentence, and without a whisper of dissent from anyone. The following speeches were of a high order, but not important tonight.
From the studios in the NBC building in San Francisco, KSD has presented the comments and observations of Charles G. Ross, contributing editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and Dr. Roland G. Usher, KSD news analyst. For more news of the United Nations conference at San Francisco, listen to Richard Harkness at 10:45 tonight on KSD. We return you now to the KSD studios in the Post-Dispatch building in St. Louis.
This is the St. Louis Post-Dispatch station, KSD.